and Fantastic Friday it is, even though we have a lot of scary monsters and super creeps to contend with out on the world stage. Today I'm going to get into some very, very interesting ones that don't get covered very much in the middle of all this deep state morass. I am dark journalist Daniel List, and it's great to be here on the Alex Jones Show. Of course, it's interesting, you know, I was mentioning that the Iran war and all the things, when it started, Alex called it and pinged it exactly right, that it was a huge, huge move and a huge distraction from the domestic agenda of the president. But now we're going to look at some of the aspects going on in the background that don't directly relate to the war, but are huge moves that the Trump administration is making in relation to the UFO file, which we cover on a deep, deep basis, looking at it from a geopolitical angle and taking it out of some of the kind of more fantasist versions and going really for some nuts and bolts activity of what's happening there with that kind of advanced technology. Now, it's very interesting because, of course, as we reported, and Alex covered this as well, that there were a number, I actually did this with Alex 2 weeks ago, where we covered that President Trump had put out an executive order. And this executive order was quite fascinating because it, for the first time, ordered the Defense Department and the various agencies like the NGA and the NRO and others to submit all of their UFO file activity and all of their UFO file information relating to this advanced craft and crash retrievals and God knows what else. But it was a very large kind of sweeping announcement, and it's the first that any president has ever made. So it was automatically record-breaking, let's say, and historic right off the bat. One of the things I want to say in relation to this is that Trump, in the background, as we've reported, has a huge connection through his family, through his uncle directly, talking about the UFO file. And this is how we're going to understand that, because John Trump worked on the UFO file. And so President Trump was already plugged into this. And that's where you get Trump in the middle of a number of these battles. Let's say the Space Force was a kind of battle and highly unusual. And I don't think Trump even gets the kind of credit that he deserves on that for creating this massive Space Force. And if you really look to the reasons for why that happened, however, you're going to be looking at pulling and retrieving that UFO file back under executive control. This is what it was all about. And this is the crucial aspect that's missing when people look at the battle between Trump and the deep state on this. And although we're looking at a number of factors going on in the White House, a lot of strings being pulled, and there's a lot of people in that Trump circle who are less than savory, shall we say, but you have some fantastic people who are very committed on that UFO side, including Bobby Kennedy. And I can tell you that from having interviewed Bobby and from conversations that Bobby's very interested in the subject, as is Tulsi Gabbard. So we have a large support system inside the administration itself for this type of disclosure. Now, the disclosure gets announced very strangely there just before the Iran war activity kicks in. Right in the middle of this, a very important general, an Air Force major general, disappeared without a trace. And this is what's so fascinating, because this general was somebody who was very hardcore connected with the UFO file. He'd been working on redeveloping the Roswell UFO material, which they've redeveloped now over the course of some 70 years. But that whole thing gets passed off, and there's a kind of handing off. What I'm going to get into today is the missing general and how it relates to the UFO file, Trump's disclosure, which supposedly is coming up in July, and the CIA false UFO disclosure working hard in the background to build this up. We're going to get into all of it today and find out what happened to the missing general, who has been missing since February 27th. So it's great to be back with you, everyone, and we will really have a dynamite hour being here. It is great to be here with you all. Talk to you soon.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at theyellowshowstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to theyellowshowstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at theyellowshowstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Well, thank God it's Friday. Here we go, deep, deep into the heartlands on the most arcane and most hidden issue in the entire country and probably the world, and that is the actual UFO file and the exotic technology that's connected with it. And it's so interesting with all the activity that we hear about what's been going on and the nuclear threats and, you know, will Russia get into a nuclear skirmish with Ukraine and will the United States get into a nuclear skirmish via Israel with Iran? Well, I can tell you for a long, long time, there's been a huge connection between the UFO file subject and the nuclear subject. Most famously in the late 1960s over a base called Malmstrom there in Montana, actually some UFOs came over and shut off our nuclear missiles, just went cold. And that's been a case that slowly bubbled up. And then various researchers have started to notice this trend, which they seem to hover all around our different bases. And it's funny because this has a real historical context over time. This is really the heart of the matter when you get into it. If you go all the way back to 1963, you have a president in the United States trying to bargain with the Russians at that point, Nikita Khrushchev, going really kind of hardcore, saying, look, I want to share this UFO file information with you so we don't end up having World War III and nuking each other over the fact that some of these UFOs go over our nuclear sites. This was a crucial aspect that Kennedy was bringing forward. It was just absolutely fascinating diplomacy going on in the background. And so what he said was, let's go to the moon together. And that was President Kennedy's real push in the background to make all of this happen. Of course, the forces that were dedicated to keeping that information secret on our side, that's where the deep state really exploded and expanded. And what's remembered there is a battle between the executive branch and the CIA and others is actually a fight over this very same material that we're talking about and that Trump is disclosing at this very moment. And there's an executive order coming with all this, but he's already made the announcement, et cetera. Now, there's a few pitfalls because, of course, we can get a false disclosure, and that's what's been builded up since 2017 through the likes of CIA counterintelligence agents who are the ones who have been showing up to all the congressional hearings and God knows what else. I've talked to some of them. Some of them really run for the hills when I'm around because they know I'm going to ask the tough questions. But what happened really in that whole mix of things is that a lot of the deep state researchers really understood how the government works, and this is a key factor. And a lot of the UFO researchers, unfortunately, come from a more fluffy zone. And they don't have the kind of deep research that's going to be required when you're dealing with intelligence agencies and the types of games that they play. Now, anyone who takes a close look at this is going to know that the Central Intelligence Agency, the NRO and the NGO, the National Geospatial Group, they are the ones who are handling and managing this. And they're the ones who are also rolling out these whistleblowers over time to give us the false information. Oh, we have to get that government to give us disclosure while they're rolling out this UFO threat. Now, the threat aspect I'm going to get into, but I want to go back to the missing general here for a moment. I want to call this basically a tale of two emails. One of those emails in particular regards General William Neil McCaslin, who went missing on February 27th. Now, he was out very close to his house, and they said, well, maybe he went for a hike and got lost. This guy, you know, being a general, very capable, but also in charge of the most important program. He was technically retired, but he was in charge of the most important program of the UFO file at Wright-Patterson. Now, Wright-Patterson is right in the heart of that UFO secrecy. That's where we send the craft. That's where we send the scientists. That's where they study, you know, the whole aspect of UAP this, UFO that, alien this, alien that. And well known for Hangar 18, which hung out as a myth there, everybody's known this since the 1970s, that Wright-Patterson is the way to go. Well, it was McCaslin who was in charge of this very special space UFO program at Wright-Patterson. So, you know, his wife basically says, here's the story, you know, a handyman showed up early in the morning and she left them. She said, you know, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to go do some things. I'll be back. And when she came back at noon, he was gone. And he didn't have some very important things with him, like his glasses, for example, or phone. And given the national security importance of somebody working on the UFO file, there is no way that this general who's missing would under any circumstances be allowed to just disappear. So certainly somebody in all of this knows a great deal, and we need to ferret out exactly the kind of investigation that's going on here, because they're treating it on a very blasé level, like, oh, he got confused and he walked away. Well, first of all, this guy, you know, is a very capable person, having been a general, retired Air Force Major General, and in charge of these very secret and exotic programs. The program he was working on, as I mentioned, related directly to the Roswell material. And why that's so important and why this cuts right to the core of what we're talking about is I'm going to read you an email about how important that all was. And it draws in some very interesting characters. For example, John Podesta, who Tom DeLonge, the you know, kind of burnt out rock star, was really sending these messages as the intelligence agencies were trying to use DeLonge as a Bobo character going in there. And I have an exhibit up there. It's X15, which is this email. I'm going to read this email. It's a short email, but it's going to give us a great idea of what was actually happening and how McCaslin came up in this email, which is from 2016. And again, it is from DeLonge to John Podesta, the John Podesta, who's Clinton acolyte, who managed the campaign in 2016 and started to get Hillary to say cute things like UAP, UAP, when she was on talk shows, because they needed to rebrand the whole UFO file into this aspect. Now, the email is crucial for a few things that it brings across. And so this is the X-15. Now, DeLonge says, the subject matter is McCaslin. Now, this is the missing general. This is the guy who's going to go missing 10 years later. And remember, DeLonge is under orders to corral all these people as part of this false disclosure UFO. Quote, he's mentioned he's a skeptic. He's not. I've been working with him for 4 months. I just got done giving him a four-hour presentation on the entire project a few weeks ago. And that is the project of soft disclosure, the UFO threat program, Tom DeLonge, leading a youthful audience to be deceived into all this and then to help roll out the other whistleblowers. Trust me, the advice has already been happening on how you do all this. He just has me say that out loud. He's very, very aware, as he was in charge of all of this stuff. That means the UFO file. When Roswell crashed, they shipped it to the laboratory at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. General McCaslin was in charge of that exact laboratory up until a couple of years ago. He not only knows what I'm trying to achieve, he helped assemble my advisory team. He is a very important man. Now, that is a verified email via WikiLeaks, and they're the ones who outed it. And so McCaslin became the kind of political football in the background. They needed him to be on board with this. But he was actually working on very serious crash retrieval programs for the government around the UFO file in the most secret black budget programs relating to this. And as soon as the email got leaked, he cut off all communication with DeLonge and Podesta, which was really a smart thing to do. And Podesta, of course, somebody in the heart of all this, being really in the background and bringing this about on the UFO file side, saying, oh, we need disclosure, you know, we need this, and the truth is out there and this whole thing. part of the rebranding aspect that was going to happen as a result of the Hillary campaign in 2016 didn't happen because Trump came in. And so all the things that came out later, like the New York Times article saying, oh, you know, we have these three UFOs that have been leaked and there's a disgruntled counterintelligence officer who's going to blow the whistle, that was all part of the original operation. And we've examined a number of those characters. What's interesting is some of those characters directly now are confirmed to have reached out to McCaslin because they wanted him on board. And that email serves as proof directly and confirmed from WikiLeaks, not something, not a trust me bro kind of document, but the real thing. So the question is, what was McCaslin? Why was he such an important figure in the middle of all this? This is somebody who could be trusted with these secrets. And when you get into that aspect of the redevelopment of the UFO file, what is it that they wanted to do with it? They wanted to build it up as a weapons system, one. They wanted the technology, the Breakaway X technology, right in the heart of it. That's two. But the third aspect is very important, is that they wanted to also create in the public a huge scare. They wanted to build up for a UFO threat event that would give them emergency powers through the continuity of government program. This is the aspect where the deep state players, the people who research the deep state players and the UFO researchers could get something on the ball with each other. You know, there's a lot of disdain about the UFO researchers because so much of that becomes a fluff junket and so much of it is commercialized. However, the UFO file is very, very real and very core to all of this. And it's coming right into the heart, into the center of the president's program with his declaration that, hey, I'm going to release all of this. Now, if we move that clock back just a little bit, what does Trump even have anything to do with the UFO file? As I've mentioned, and I've done documentaries on this, Professor John Trump over here by MIT, who's passed on, was somebody who worked, for example, on Star Wars. And he's somebody who worked on SDI, which was Reagan's initial program, which presumably was to block missiles coming in from the Russians and ICBMs and things. But its actual purpose was to be set up as a UFO defense grid. And at the time, they were showing to President Reagan all of these incredible graphics and things and saying, look, these are, you know, the UFOs and they're hovering around. We need to do something about it. And they really got him deeply, deeply involved. Now, he had a genuine interest in the subject. And again, the subject is real. But we have to get to the CIA illusion of the subject in order to understand the real thing. When we look at John Trump, looking at somebody who is in the heart of the program, and this is what I proved by connecting him with Vannevar Bush. And Vannevar Bush was in charge of the UFO file program, and John Trump was his protege. And of course, Trump was famously sent in to observe the papers of Nikola Tesla in 1943. That's Vannevar Bush, the scientist, the main scientist in the government who headed up things like the Manhattan Project and others for FDR and Truman and Eisenhower. And he's the one that John Trump is the protege of. So if you go back there in history, you're looking at a physicist named Robert Sarbarker who says, look, the UFO file, and this guy was like the Oppenheimer of his day. And he said, the UFO file is a higher national security secret than the atomic bomb. So you can see with those levels of secrecy what was going on in the background. When we understand Trump's connection over time and working through that, by the time Trump gets into being a political figure and all the rest, he has the connection, one, with his uncle's understanding of the Trump Tesla technology, and he has this understanding of the UFO file because Vannevar Bush was the head of the UFO file, and John Trump was his protege. Those things are now undeniable because of our research that we've put across. They're proven. It's a fact. Now, what do you do with those facts? Well, you start to understand that a lot of the clashes that go on between the Trump administration and a number of different factors, there's regular politics and there's, you know, this guy's up one day, this guy's up the next day, and let's put this guy in jail, you know, let's raid him and let's raid Mar-a-Lago and things. But if you think about it this way, how many presidents in the background have spurred this type of reaction? And when we look at this, this is very important. That is the DeLong email to Podesta regarding General McCaslin right there, by the way. But when we think about that, it's very easy to take a look at this and say, well, you know, Trump inspires all this hatred and all this, you know, because he's a political player and all the rest. But really, I think the problem is there that Trump is somebody who has the knowledge of the deep state regarding the UFO file. This is the crucial aspect. There's a group back there in the heart of the government called X Protect. This is the most shadowy group really in existence around the CIA and around our various NRO and other groups. Now, it's an interesting thing to note that there have been a number of programs that we haven't found out about until many, many years later. For example, the National Reconnaissance Office was kicked off in 1960, and that was one of the most important satellite programs for war and for everything else. Public didn't learn about it till 30 years later, and we're in a similar situation right now. This is the problem. There's a breakaway group operating there, and there are government agencies that we don't know about that are managing the UFO file. It becomes more and more crucial when we're in the heart of these things to find out who is running the UFO file program now inside the government. And it's not just this flimsy, hey, let's look at some records and we're going to get disclosure and all the rest of it. The whole thing goes a lot deeper. That's why the general's disappearance is so crucial in the heart of all this. And when we look at what's going on there in relation to the general and the fact that he's missing, we have somebody now also who was working with him, and her name was Monica Reza. She was an aerospace engineer, but guess what? She also disappeared, and she disappeared last June. She was hiking in the forest with a friend. The friend was looking back. They were 20 or 30 feet away from each other, hiking along. He takes another look back, and she's gone. So she's disappeared. Now, she was working under McCasland on that very same secret project dealing with the UFO file, and she had developed a very unusual alloy that they were using as part of the rocket programs and the different things that we're doing as part of the space program and the secret space program that's operational out there. Now, part of this redevelopment of these metals and the development of this goes back to that original crash. And that crash of material in the New Mexico desert in July of 1947 still ricochets through the halls of the national security state because of the advantage of that type of exotic technology. This is where the story goes outside of the bounds of history, but we can track it if we keep our eyes on the ball in relation to this. And I can say that one of the people, you know, there's a shot there, which is X3, actually, if you guys can show that. This is the 509th group. And it's very fascinating about the 509th group because they're the ones who discovered the UFO file. They discovered the Roswell crash there in Roswell, New Mexico, and they went out to retrieve it. And when they came out there, the intelligence officer, Jesse Marcel, said, you know what, the whole thing spread across a mile and a half. Whatever had crashed here was massive. And the way he described the metal was that there was nothing that you could do to wrinkle it, burn it, bend it, break it. This was an alloy, a metal that they had never seen. And he had been in charge of the only group, the 509th, that was allowed to drop bombs in that period. So dropping the bombs at that time would have been, you know, basically he's the most important intelligence officer that we had. And for him to say, I don't know what this is remarkable. Of course, some of it got out, slipped out, and the world got a little glimpse of it for 24 hours, and then they cut it down with the huge weather balloon solution. But Marcel retired immediately after that, 30 years later. Nobody knows anything about the Roswell story. Nobody reports it. There's no books on it, nothing. Then in the late 1970s, he resurfaces and says, this is what we really found. Now, if you go to X8, this is what he said the actual craft aspects looked like. And it's very interesting because what he describes them as is hieroglyphics. And the hieroglyphics themselves have a very unusual character. They look kind of Egyptian. They also look like scientific formulas and things. And he said all around the metal were strewn these strange bars with these hieroglyphs on them. And he held the material in his hands himself. There were also a number of things claimed for those materials, including the fact that they heightened the psychic ability of the person who was holding them. Other things would happen, that the person's mental acuity would become incredibly sharp. They could remember all these facts and details. And so there was a huge kind of kerfuffle deep in the halls of government over this. And what they decided to do was ship all of the fragments and all of the wreckage from that crash directly to Wright-Patterson after a stop in Texas. And Wright-Patterson becomes the redevelopment center of all of this. And it's quite interesting because on the record, we have Senator Barry Goldwater of Arizona. He was actually somebody who ran for president at one point in the 1960s, but he was a senator for 40 years. And this is somebody who was blunt and spoke his mind. And he said, you know, I knew Curtis LeMay very well, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and all the rest, and a real war hawk there in the government. And he'd been hearing all this stuff about Hangar 18 and redevelopment and alien bodies and everything else. And he said, well, I'm going to get this guy on the phone. I'm a senator. I want to know, you know, he's my friend. So he gets him on the phone and he says, look, what's going on at Hangar 18? Do you have UFO material in this base? Like, what's the nature of it? I keep hearing all these things. I'm hearing these guys are going in, and when the scientists are redeveloping the craft, they're seeing ghosts and everything else. Like, what's happening here? And what have you been able to develop? I want to know all about it. We should have a Senate hearing on it. And he said that LeMay, who was known to have a temper, but was always cool with him because they were close friends, just flipped out completely on him. And he said, if you ever ask me about Hangar 18 ever again, I will never, ever speak to you again. That gives you some idea of the importance that they laid on this and the crucial aspect that they were looking at in relation to the material. So the nature of the material, the nature of the 509th group goes directly to the redevelopment that McCaslin was doing at Wright-Patterson prior to his disappearance. And this was somebody who was a very high value target for any foreign government and everything else. So his disappearance goes into all sorts of different areas. And then the disappearance 6 months earlier of his assistant also opens up this whole ball of wax relating to the scientists who are being assassinated or disappeared over their relationship with the UFO file, because some people inside of those government halls know some of this is coming out and they don't want these guys around to confirm many of the things that are due to come out through this disclosure day. Objective. So this brings us into a whole different realm of, you know, we're always dealing with the economy and we're always dealing with, will China do this and will AI do that? Well, what if that UFO redeveloped material is right in the heart of all these geopolitical battles? And the reason we can't get our hands on so much of this is because we don't bring in the UFO aspect when it comes to dealing with these national security issues, the geopolitical issues, and the things. Of course, you know, we're talking about pressure and tension with Russia. This is a long-standing thing with Russia relating to their own UFO program. So we're deep, deep in the heart of Texas on this. And there's no turning back, especially with the material we've put out there. Now, in the next segment, what I'm going to tell you about is a very unique program called Blue that's inside the government that's never been disclosed. And we forced the government to come out and admit, yes, the crash retrieval program Blue is real, and it's been active for 60-some-odd years. This is Dark Journalist Daniel List, and it's great to be here on the Alex Jones Show on this Friday. Just a fantastic opportunity to talk with you about this. We're going to get into this. We're going to get into more hardcore aspects relating directly to the suppression of the UFO file and, of course, the Trump administration declaration. Hey, we're disclosing. We're going to go for disclosure, everybody. This is going to happen. So we'll be back in just a couple.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down to make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where to put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvishowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
What a fantastic dark journalist Friday we have for you here on the Alex Jones Show. And it's great to be here on Alex's show. Of course, Alex is very much the architect of the independent media. That's my name for him. And one of the key things I think he's been able to bring forward is some transparency around the UFO file in this kind of deep state context. We're going to get into some of this. Now, I'm going to start off this segment with something rather unusual, which was all this predicted at some point in the past? Whenever we deal around the deep state or whenever we deal with the different aspects relating to what's happening in the UFO file or just in the geopolitics in general, you will find the secret societies active right in the middle of everything. And sometimes people will understand, they'll say, well, the Masons do this, or the Vatican does that, or Knights of Malta does this. You know, there's just little aspects. There's a little thin thread. But deep, deep in the heart of all this are groups that go all the way back to the era of the Egyptians and beyond. And they've been carrying this whole piece of knowledge over time. And that's where you get, you know, so many rumors throughout you know, Knights Templars and things of this nature, but they're carrying secrets. And these groups have existed for thousands and thousands of years. The mystery schools are in particular a hardcore aspect of this. And you might sometimes hear the work of, you know, like Anthroposophy, Rudolf Steiner, or Blavatsky and Theosophy, or things of this nature. There's a thread there in the modern, more modern, say the last 200 years, that starts to bring some of this out. And in the heart of it was a mystery school group that was carrying a secret, projecting out into the future. And it's very fascinating because sometimes when you are doing this deep research, you become part of the story by accident or otherwise. And one of the stories I was working on was relating to this group about an artist named Delsha who was bringing out this information. Some researchers had worked around what are the nature of his paintings, because his paintings go all the way back into the 19th century. He died, disappeared from history sometime in 1920. Now, I have one of the graphics here. It's actually X. We're going to show that. But this is a graphic, and you might have seen this splashed across all of these various media outlets in the last week. We've been reporting on this for years and putting it out there, and finally, I guess, you know, we're getting some traction, we're getting some time on this. And this is the prediction of Trump relating to the airship mystery. If you go into that period before the regular kind of UFO aspect in 1947, late in the 19th century, before the Wright brothers, there were all of these airship sightings of advanced craft flying over major cities, and all these newspapers had reported it, etc. So that aspect of these airships and what they were showing were really very interesting because they were far, far advanced. Well, this one was by Delsha, and he drew it. This was the airship group he was covering. And Trump is the name that he listed right in the heart, in the middle, and it is unmistakable. And if you think, you know, sometimes you can look at these things and say, was that just a flunk or whatever, you know, was that just a coincidence? There are a number of these relating directly to Trump and the airship mystery. Now, how does that happen? Well, that painting that you're looking at comes all the way back from 1909 and was lost for 50 years. Then it was found in the heart of all of this, activity, where it was found in an attic and moved into an antique store, and all these paintings and all these advanced airships and things were coming out. And this guy had been, in America since the 1850s. So he had been here for a long, long time. He was basically sent to spy on this group that was doing these advanced airships over there in California. And we featured this on our program a number of different times, but those predictions are unmistakable. The question is, what is it that's going on? Why does artist being part of these mystery schools, being associated with the airship mystery, how did they know that Trump somehow was going to be in the heart of, you know, advanced aerospace disclosure, shall we say, the UFO file, the UFO disclosure that Trump is talking about right now? Now, I have one that's even stranger. Let's see. It is X12. Now, this one actually is part, it says Trump right in the heart of it. And actually, it's part of a train. So you have the whole Trump train aspect. And then over in the corner, you can't really see it on this, but it says Trump 45, which was the art series. And Trump, of course, was the 45th president of the United States, and now is the 47th president of the United States. Someone back there in the heart of all this was looking at this, putting it out there. His name was Delsha, but he was just connected to a larger group that came from Germany, and they were spying into the future, or they were showing us the lineage of this aerospace aspect being connected somehow in relation to the future. And Trump was, his name was right in the heart of it. It's unmistakable. You know, the paintings have been out there. They've been exhibited since the 1970s. Many museums carry Delsha's paintings. So there's no hint of forgery or anything else. The question is, where does that leave us? Well, considering Trump is the president who announced that he's going to do UFO disclosure one way or another, it's obviously clear that this guy's prediction is coming true and that he was predicting this. But how did they know? This is the power, I think, back there of these mystery schools and the secret societies who oppose them. And there's the battle going on in the background between these groups. I would call it the mystery school wars. And that's why you see they're very advanced, far advanced beyond the things that we have there available in the public. That's why they knew all the way back in the 1800s about these advanced craft flying around. Now, when you go further along and you're looking at the UFO file and the things that came out in the 1950s, there is a crucial aspect that hits, and that is during the presidency of President John F. Kennedy. Now, Kennedy was very aware of the UFO file because he had been very close with James Forrestal. And Forrestal was the first defense secretary of the United States. And he was somebody who'd been in charge of the Navy. He was very close to Truman. And he was a fellow Catholic with JFK and became his best friend. Now, JFK at the time was just, you know, this kind of thin guy, just came out of Harvard and was looking to be a journalist. And he thought, oh, my brother Joe is going to run for president. I'm not going to get involved with that. And Forrestal took him over to post-war Berlin to see the ruins of all of this. And it's quite fascinating because Kennedy himself would go on later to say, you know, everybody over there knew that Hitler didn't die in the bunker the way that they said he did. But this is the reporting that Kennedy is doing in 1946. Well, a couple of years later, you know, it's reputed that, in fact, Forrestal had shared the UFO file with Kennedy. And Forrestal, being the defense secretary, was privy to all the things we had discovered through the Roswell crash. And he was somebody who said, you know, we should bring this out. We should actually put this out in the public. And one of these dramatic pictures are there. Let's see. It's X5. We can put that up. Now, what he wanted to do was create this X-Share environment. And there was a group in there named X-Protect that wanted to prevent these things from coming out and would use lethal means in order to do this. Now, Forrestal himself was very unceremoniously dumped out of a window at Bethesda Hospital as the defense secretary. And, you know, oh, they said, well, he was depressed for a couple of weeks. He went into Bethesda and decided to end it all, jumping out of the 13th floor. Now, that story was always highly suspect. And the idea that he was part, as years later we found out, of the MJ-12 group, and they were the ones who managed the UFO file. Here they have somebody right in the heart of it who says, you know what, I think it's a better idea to share it because the public is going to catch up with this. They have a right to know. And even though, you know, there's a way that we can do this where we can get it around our enemies and all the rest. Well, the groups in there operating with the black budget and fighting, you know, the Cold War and things, the CIA, the Dulles brothers and others didn't want anything to do with this. So Kennedy inherited this knowledge of the UFO file. By the time you get President Kennedy going into the White House, he already has that background. He's already written to people on record, and you can find this at the Kennedy Library, asking them and demanding information relating to the UFO file from the Air Force and others. As a matter of fact, there's a report all the way back there when he's a congressman where they're sharing information with him about the Roswell crash. So he was somebody who was definitely very much in the know. Now, what was hidden in those periods, the UFO file was so suppressed, as it still is today. But in 1960 to 1963, it was incredibly suppressed. And the program that was actually in charge of the whole thing was called Blue. I revealed this program in 2023 originally, and it got around so much in these different circles that these counterintelligence people and others were getting in touch with me saying, how did you know about this? And the government had to come clean in the spring of 2024 and say, yes, we did have Blue, you know, and we called it Kona Blue, and it was a crash retrieval program for UFOs. But hey, guess what? We never found any, so, you know, it didn't matter anyway. Well, that wasn't true. And the one that was active in Kennedy's era, there were two of them actually, Blue Gemini and Blue Fly. Now, Blue Fly, it's very interesting, was brought forward by Colonel Philip Corso. He brought this information out just before his death, and he was the one who said we were using the Roswell information and what we had retrieved through the crash retrieval, through the alien engineering of this, to build all the advanced aspects in our society, like, you know, the advanced computers, the advanced nuclear technology, and all the rest of it. This was what was happening. And we were going into this overdrive on the technology side, and the Russians were trying to spy on us. So that program of the UFO file became more and more suppressed. So the X-Protect group saw themselves in a position where they felt they were defending, you know, the advancement around the UFO file, but also advancing the interests of the groups that wanted that advantage over society. This is where so much of the history got cloudy. And what you have in the middle of it is this assassination of President Kennedy, who was trying to share that UFO file with the Russians. So when we get into this now, it's come forward more and more. And, you know, I've had Watergate lawyer Douglas Caddy on my program who said, yeah, you know, E. Howard Hunt told me directly, and they were best friends. He was his lawyer. He said before he went to prison, you know, he told me directly, well, you know, when I asked him why was Kennedy assassinated, he said he was assassinated because he was going to share our most vital national security secret with the Russians. We couldn't let him do that. And Kennedy said, well, what was the most important national security secret with the Russians? And he said, it was the UFO file. You know, he was going to just hand it over to them. And, you know, there's no way we could allow that. So this policy now has remained in place, you understand, over 60 years. It wasn't that Kennedy was some, you know, blip on the radar, some anomaly, and he challenged the deep state and that was it. No, that entire wing of people who wanted to share the information versus the people that were using lethal force and other things to get rid of those people, that's the nature of the problem. And that's the overlap. And it is right the situation that the current administration finds itself right in the heart of it. So when we do the programs on Dark Journalist dealing with the UFO file, we go in with the idea that this group is at this point deciding, well, you know what? We're kind of overwhelmed with public interest at this point. We need to, instead of suppressing it the way we used to, people used to buy that, you know, not really, but they used to kind of accept it when we would say, well, we don't know. It's, you know, it was the planet Venus or whatever. And they would deny and put up this wall of secrecy while they were activating it through, you know, huge aspects of breakaway technology into corporate America, into the corporate aspects. And they were developing the technology more and more. You heard about space elevators. You heard about things we were doing in space, but there was no public space program since we stopped going to the moon in 1972, right? And you hear about it now and they say, well, we're going, you know, we have Artemis. We're going in 2028. Well, where have you been for 56 years? It doesn't make any sense. And there are no aspects that make the space program story make any sense. So, you know, the idea, of course, we had an active program. We were going out into space and Apollo missions took us to the moon. But then what happened? How did they just stop? There's no way that that would happen under ordinary circumstances. And now they're like, hey, yeah, we're going back. And, you know, Elon Musk is up there saying, yeah, we're going to do it, but don't worry. There's no aliens up there. You have to get that. We all have to get clear on that. Of course, he's under orders by DARPA and others that you can't say anything about it. In fact, if you want to operate up there, you have to answer directly to the Air Force and the Space Force. That's it. And if you don't, then you're out. You know, it doesn't matter how powerful your corporation is. So all of those kind of, you know, goofy little things that he puts out there in relation to this is not true at all. And I'm sure he probably bites his own tongue. Maybe he wants to talk about it. But you have to remember this, that NASA has the most, you know, the pictures and the video and the sensor readings and everything else relating to the UFO file. They're number one. But clearly number two is SpaceX. There's no doubt about it. And that would be on that level. But where in the secret aspects of the government does this go? Well, that is the Blue Program, and that is managed by the X-Protect group. And part of the problem with the X-Protect group is that they're rolling it back out now, and they want to roll this out, and they want to co-opt it, and they want to say, hey, look, the CIA is going to give you UFO disclosure. And, you know, the CIA and counterintelligence agents, they're the best liars on the planet, right? Why are they going to give you UFO disclosure? Well, guess what? They're not. But this is the program and this is the media buying in and saying, oh yeah, our special guest tonight is, you know, CIA officer blank blank, and he's going to tell us about UFO disclosure. So they don't go to the researchers, or if they are going to researchers, it's the researchers who are working with the counterintelligence agents. How do you get to the real thing? Well, I think the real UFO investigation slipped off a cliff somewhere in the 2000s. There was a Harvard professor over here named John Mack who really put his reputation on the line and said, there's a lot going on with this. And I remember being a college student and talking to Mack, and I asked him some questions about it. And he told me some very strange things. He said, you know, we need to understand this as a whole physics problem hanging out in the background, which is when these people get abducted and things, they're getting abducted through objects. So that defies the laws of physics. So we're looking at a totally different order of physics when you're dealing with the UFO file and these abduction cases. And this brings us into this understanding of, oh, it's not just, hey, there are some ships here and all the rest of it. It upsets the entire laws of nature when these things show up. That's the problem. Right in the heart of it. And the term I use for that is apotheum. And that is, you know, when people have missing time, time disappears, you know, a city gets blacked out, their car won't work, whatever it happens to be. That is the apotheum effect on overdrive. And there are so many cases, but there can't be a comprehensive science around all this, because whenever you just get around the UFO file, you're dealing with, you know, the big-headed gray alien, or you're dealing with a super militaristic thing of like, yeah, we've got to shoot down those aliens. There's a UFO threat. The government needs a UFO defense office. This is where we've been left. But in the middle of all this is the actual information relating to the UFO file. And that is dramatically, dramatically different. And I'll tell you, it's very, very active. And what I see with the Trump administration order is some effort to pull that UFO file back under executive control of the president. This is the key. And this is the battle that's been going on in the background. That's not visible. That's not something that you hear about. Except, you know, once in a while, there are these things like the fact that this general, for example, got grabbed just as that order came out. The timing there, I think, is too dramatic for anyone who studies the subject on a serious basis. And if you put together that with the deaths of Nuno Lorero over here at MIT in December of this year, and then right after him, Dr. Grillmayer in California, these people were scientists that were working on very secret, highly secret aspects, and they stepped on somebody's toes. And the explanations of their deaths don't make any sense at all. In the case of Lorero, it was somebody that he supposedly, you know, went to school with over there in Spain and in Portugal. And what happened was this guy, after 20 years, discovered, hey, I have a grudge. I'm going to go all the way from Portugal, and I'm going to go to Rhode Island. I'm going to shoot up some students there, and then I'm going to drive up to Brookline, Mass, which is a very buttoned up community. I'm going to go in there undetected and shoot this MIT professor who's working on this ultra secret program. And then Valente, this assailant who shoots Lorero, he's going to drive himself up there to New Hampshire, and he's going to pull into a storage space and blow his brains out. And guess what? That's the end of that case. We have no understanding what was going on in the background. And so the law enforcement just says, well, this guy had a grudge. He shot Lorero. The scientist was working on ultra secret projects. And then he drove up just over the Massachusetts, New Hampshire border and shoots himself in this storage space. The story doesn't add up for a lot of reasons. One of the key things that I discovered in relation to Lorero, which should really give us pause and may start to give us the threads between the case of McCaslin, the missing general, and also what's going on with the death of these scientists, including McCaslin's assistant disappearing in the forest just back in June. I mean, these are a lot of high-level people just going missing. And in the case of Lorero, what I found out is he was working on a very obscure area called neutron star mergers. Neutron star mergers are basically how do black holes get created when these two stars interface. And it was such a highly secret and dangerous aspect of science that was going on there that he obviously had stumbled into something around these projects. And a lot of the black projects, whether you stumble in officially or unofficially, they don't want that type of coverage on the programs they're doing. And boom, you know, Lorero, unfortunately, became a victim in the heart of all that, which is really disturbing. One of the other things I wanted to show is X4, actually, because it relates to all the things that I'm talking about, because in the heart of all this is the buildup in the background by an intelligence group. And this is all about the drones that were going over the house there, the fort that was housing Rubio and Hegseth. And these drones flew directly over their base. This is just 2 days ago now. And they're saying these are unidentified drones. Really? You have unidentified drones over your defense secretary and your secretary of state? I don't believe it. They obviously know who is piloting those things, but why are they letting them get away with it? And this is an aspect here. It's almost like an extraterritorial threat. There's some group, there's some actor in the middle of all this. There's some actor that is able to command this technology, and they have carte blanche. Those drones now getting away with just flying over Hegseth and Rubio, it's an extraordinary story. How does anyone account for that? Now, the only thing I can say is when you look at the drone surges that were taking place last year and they were going over these different bases and things, even when President Trump was a president-elect and he was driving around to these various things, he started to put drone busters, those little kind of, you know, let's take down the drones, the anti-aircraft, anti-drone weapons, right on top of his presidential limousine. That's because he knew somebody, somewhere, something is going on here. And we don't just let, you know, these drones hover around that we don't know what they are. We shoot them down. That's the way it's been, you know. Do you think since 9/11 we don't have rules for things that are just flying around in space? This is the most ridiculous thing in the world. Started with the Chinese balloon aspect back in 2023 and the Biden administration saying, oh, we're just going to let that Chinese balloon go across. And then there were all these headlines in the New York Times and other places talking about the shoot down over Canada of these UFOs. It's like, we shot down a UFO over Canada. And it's related to the Chinese balloon. You know, all of these unusual stories. Look, doesn't happen. I can tell you, NORAD is up there. They have eyes to the skies. They know everything that's going in and out. That's what they're designed for. There's no way a drone can go over a Secretary of State that they don't know what it is. You know, they would blow it out of the sky before anyone even knew anything. And that's the nature of all of this. And I also want to tell you that the news reporting around the general's disappearance is very similar, which is they're saying, oh, this guy, you know, he decides after his workman works on the house and his wife goes to the store to just walk up, you know, these hills around New Mexico where he lives, and he just disappears. Doesn't work that way. When you have a high-profile general who's worked on secret programs like the UFO file, forget it. That's not the way that it works. So the stories around the drones and the story around the missing general have something very big in common. They have ridiculous explanations on top. And what I want to get into is really what is going on in the background that is forcing all this to a real peak right here at this period in time in early 2026, including the Iran war, including UFO disclosure by the Trump administration, including the missing general, and including all of these factors. We are in the heart of a massive transformation, and we got to catch up and know what's going on, because the stories, the official stories that go on, and even some in the independent media don't add up. It has been great being here with you. Stick around. And tonight, you will see me on YouTube. That's Dark Journalist X219. Watch that show. And we're looking forward to it. And of course, we'll catch up with Alex again real soon. So thank you very much, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, it's supposed to be available right now at thealexandershow.com, is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexandershow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexandershow.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.